witness the baptism of London Harper George and Logan James Rose. And it's a delight to be able to welcome these into the family of believers. And I'm honored to participate in this service here with you today. And so as we begin, here's some words of instruction and some meaning in regards to baptism as we celebrate it. After he had risen victorious from the grave, Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Baptism is the sign and seal of God's promises to his covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and cleanse us, and to resurrect us to eternal life. This promise made visible in baptism, the sign and seal of God's promises, of his eternal and covenant love for us. And just as water washes the body clean of its dirt and its odor, and so the water of baptism signifies the washing us clean of our sin unto new life. It's a sign and seal of that promise of God upon our lives, to each of us as we have been baptized, and it's a promise upon the lives of these children here today. Through baptism, Christ calls us then to new, spirit-filled obedience, to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life before him. Yet when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, for baptism is that sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us. From the beginning, God graciously has included our children in this covenant. In Genesis 17, verse 7, God said this to Abraham, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." All his promises then are for our children as well as us. We then are to teach our children that they have been set apart by baptism as God's own children so that they, as they grow older, they will personally demonstrate acceptance of his promises with faith and commitment. As we proceed into the time of baptism, and before the parents give expression to their vows, I invite us all to stand together and give expression to our faith, to profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. So please stand with me. Let us say together then, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." One time in Jesus' life and ministry on earth, he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." We're going to sing as the parents come forward. I'm going to invite children to come forward and witness baptism as well. So as we sing "Jesus Loves Me" right now, I'm going to invite children and the parents to come forward. And congregation, why don't you be seated at this time as we sing Jesus Loves Me. Expression of our childlike faith as we sing this song. Megan and Marcus, Cody and Paige, since each of you are presenting your child for holy baptism, you are asked to answer the following questions before God and his people here. I invite you to respond at the end with "We do, God helping us." First, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, accept the promises of God, and affirm the truth of the Christian faith which is proclaimed in the Bible and confessed in this Church of Christ? Second, do you believe that your child, though sinful by nature, is received by God in Christ as a member of his covenant and therefore ought to be baptized? And third, do you promise, in reliance on the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Christian community, to do all in your power to instruct your child in the Christian faith and to lead your child by your example into the life of Christian discipleship? Cody and Paige, what is your answer?
We do, God helping us.
And Megan and Marcus, what is your answer?
We do, God helping us.
I invite you just to step behind here. You can turn this way a little bit. There you go. That's good. London, Harper, George, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's kind of mean, isn't it? Putting cold water, warm water on your head. Okay, switch places here. He's grown quite a bit already.
Yes.
Logan James Rose, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as part of the welcome of these children, we make this declaration that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, that London and Logan are now received into the visible membership of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, engaged to confess the faith of Christ and to be God's faithful servants until life's end. You as parents have chosen a verse that you'd like to share with us, or verses, And so I'm going to invite you to do that this time as just a verse that you felt is important for your life of faith and in your home. And who do we have first coming up there? Okay. Oh, I need a microphone, I guess, don't I? Hang on just a minute.
It
is on.
Okay. We chose Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
And we chose Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
We'd like to pray for you, wish you God's blessing, not only at this moment, but as you and you are part of this church, your children are part of this church. We pray your blessing on them. So I don't know if you can come in close here and let me just lay a hand of blessing. Father Heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to baptize London and Logan. And we pray, dear Father, that you would help your promises to them be instilled in their heart and life. They would come to know you and love you and serve you. So bless them, we pray, and bless these parents as they instruct and lead them by word and example to come to know you as well, to teach them in the way of Christian discipleship. Oh, Lord, bless them in every way. Keep them healthy and well and prosper them. Through the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. We want to congratulate you as a church family, Marcus. And Rod is going to come up as well on behalf of the council congregation. And if you would, it's like he's quieted down, full of, we traditionally have myself or the parents walk into the aisle, and I'm going to just say a few words as you do that a moment, just kind of take each aisle, and then at the end of that, there's going to be up on the screen a promise of support by you as a congregation, and I'll instruct you to that. And so as we receive these children into our church, think about Jesus and how, I spoke a moment ago, how he welcomed them to his side. And think about how Jesus taught at one time that we are to have this childlike faith. This childlike faith, meaning we are to just trust Jesus at his word and let him direct our lives. And so even as we practice that in our own life, we are to demonstrate that to these children and all of our children. And these parents are going to do that in their home and demonstrate that in speaking those words about putting trust in Jesus, about letting him take priority in our lives. And so pray about that as a congregation. Pray for your children, all of our children, because it's such a great blessing. And as you know, we have kind of a baby boom going on here in this congregation. And there's more to come. If you're not aware of that, but stand together with me, with all of us, and offer this promise of support, would you? And as we do so, parents can take their seats to say together, we, the people of the Lord, promise to receive these children in love, pray for them, help instruct them in the faith, and encourage and sustain them in the fellowship of believers. Thank you. You may be seated, and please, after the service, seek them out and welcome them after the service. Children, you may be seated. This might be a good time for children to worship, also to exit at this time, follow the flag. And then if there's any announcements, we'll take any announcements this morning as we transition here in our service. For children in worship, follow the flag here.
We have with us this morning Dr. Vogel with the Luke Society. Dr. Vogel is sitting back there. Dr. Vogel, if you would just rise. But anyway, he's going to be speaking to the adults and the young people right after this church service, and we'll be doing this in the fireside room. So please keep that in mind.
I am the small group youth coordinator, and if any of you are not a member of a small group and would like to be, there are some groups that are looking for members. So there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. Also, after the service, if you're already in a group and you are looking for new material in the near future, I will be there to assist you with some materials. Thanks.
Anybody else? And if you saw on the bulletin, I usually offer myself if you're newly worshiping here, guest here, if you have any questions about our church, I'll be in the sanctuary here for a little time as I'd like to go hear Dr. Reed's presentation as well. But seek me out. I'll be here if you do have any questions, and we'll connect that way. At this time, let's prepare ourselves as we give of our offerings today, not only for this church, but also a special offering for the Luke Society. Luke Society is medical missions, to put it simply. And we want to give to that today, and certainly encourage you to come to that presentation with Dr. Reed after the service. Please also pass the friendship folders that are in the center aisles here and as we go through this time. Well, I wanted to mention actually a special connection that our family has with Dr. Vogel. Because I pastored a church in Chandler, Minnesota for a while, and Dr. Vogel is actually the doctor that delivered our youngest daughter, Katie. And we also doctored there in their clinic at the time, and his colleague, Dr. Greg Kuiper, was our doctor as well. So, you know, they know us quite well. So it's really good to be able to see Dr. Vogel here this morning. I'd like us to consider 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11 for the message this morning. I haven't forgotten anything yet in this service, right? There's a lot of going on in this service, so just make sure we're good. Nobody else had anything to announce? All right. And I also want to say before I read this text is, in thinking about what to preach on this morning, hospitality came to mind. It's part of what we as connections and greeter teams are thinking about. We're also going to be having the elder deacon lunches. We had those last year, and you responded to them very well, and we had a little discussion as part of that time. And hospitality is going to be the focus of that. So this is kind of a jumping-off point for some of that discussion in the coming year with those elder deacon lunches that are being planned. 1 Peter chapter 4. If you didn't get an outline, there's probably some on the back carts there for the message this morning. Let's hear God's word from 1 Peter chapter 4, just verses 8 through 11 there. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, this message today seems so simple, doesn't it? The idea of preaching on hospitality. And perhaps almost it seems ridiculous to preach on it because it's so practical and so basic. A typical dictionary definition of hospitality says this: the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, and generous way. Of course, why wouldn't we greet anyone maybe who comes into our home or we invite into our home or who comes into this church? To greet them in a friendly way. Seems all pretty easy. We want to make someone who comes into our, we invite into our home, we want to help them feel like they belong. It's all pretty easy to do. Well, it's easy for sure with people that you know, that you've gotten to know already. Though it is a simple concept for many, there are things about it that makes us uncomfortable. Perhaps we are afraid to be too friendly because we might not like the other person's response. Maybe they'll respond too eagerly to your friendliness. Or perhaps we have gotten so comfortable with our own little world, our small circle of family and friends, that we don't want to take the risk of disrupting that. And so we're a little cautious. Well, Crossroads Fellowship Church, whatever your fears might be, whatever discomforts are going through your mind and heart as you think about hospitality or think about practicing hospitality, I ask you this morning that you would ask the Lord to take away those fears, to help you break away from those fears. For though it is a simple concept, it is still one of the most important qualities for the church today. Why do I say that? Well, because we live in a world where people are increasingly isolated and disconnected. And we get comfortable and kind of used to that, being disconnected. Sometimes we don't even know that we are longing for something more and different in relationship to connection with others. But when people realize that inside they are empty, that something's missing, that their spirit is somehow depleted, and they are generally sad, they then realize that they're looking for something more, for a greater connection with others, with other human souls. They're looking for a sense of belonging. And people will find that sense of belonging in many places, with many groups, types of groups. But there's no better place to find that sense of belonging and that welcome than in the church of Jesus Christ. And so the practice of this is not to be contrived or mechanical. We're not to just pretend that we're friendly guests. And those of you who are fairly new here, you've been worshiping here maybe regularly, but you're still fairly new. We want you to know that we have a genuine interest in being hospitable here. It's one of our goals, believing that God desires this of us. We're not perfect in it. It's always going to be a thing that we want to keep growing in and do a little better at. One of our objectives as a church right now is this: broadening and deepening the relationships of the body of believers at Crossroads Church, meaning anyone who comes through these doors is considered part of this body. You are part of this body today, whoever you are. Broadening and deepening the relationships. And to do that requires the practice, the offering of hospitality. And we want each of you, whether a longtime member or new person worshiping here, we want each of you to be a part of our growing in hospitality. So if we talk about hospitality, first of all, we must talk about the basis, or we might even say the theology of hospitality, why we should practice it. The basis of hospitality is the fact that God himself became our host. That is, he invited us in. He served us. There are many examples in Scripture of this. There is the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew chapter 22 and Luke 14, where God is considered the host, as you interpret that parable. God is considered the host. And the righteous, or we might say the church people, the people of Israel, were invited in to this wedding banquet. But they were too busy. They had some excuse not to come. They refused to come to this wedding banquet. And so God the host told his servants, go out on the highways and byways and invite the strangers, invite anybody that you meet off the street to come in to this wedding banquet. And they came in and were served. And in Luke chapter 12, you can look at these passages at home this week. In Luke chapter 12, it's talking about Christ's second coming. As it's discussing Christ's second coming, it says that he will come dressed to serve. And he will have his servants recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. You know, perhaps we think of God as so great and mighty. You know, he's standoffish, he's out there. You know, he's a king on a throne, and he doesn't budge from there. This concept is totally opposite. He comes to serve. You can even think of Psalm 23 in the Old Testament, where God himself prepares a table for his guests and anoints their head with oil. And as Jesus, in the Gospels, as Jesus was the one, it speaks of Jesus as the one who came to serve and not to be served. And he went to the extreme in that service by offering his life on the cross as a gift to us, his guests. He came to save sinners, those estranged from God, because you see, that's the barrier, the sin that came between us and God. And so we were separated, we were estranged. But God came in his plan to bring us back, to welcome us again, to be that host. And both baptism, as we've already celebrated it and witnessed it this morning, and the Lord's Supper, as we will celebrate it this morning yet, are wonderful demonstrations, wonderful signs as we bring them together in this one service today. But it speaks well of this idea of hospitality. God is our host, welcoming us. He reached out to us. He takes away that barrier, makes us feel at home. And those who wear God's name, for those of us who wear God's name, it is right and good. And we are commanded in Scripture, as here in 1 Peter 4, to offer hospitality. Why did God become our host? Why did Jesus offer his life for us? It is because he didn't want that sin to keep us estranged from him. It's because of his deep, unconditional love for what he made for us, and he still loves us. And this too is the basis or the heart of hospitality, love. And it's thrown throughout Scripture. As Jesus commanded in John 15, love each other as I have loved you. No strings attached, unconditionally. It's a love that begins in the family of God. In 1 John chapter 3, we hear this teaching. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? It's saying if we can't take care of each other here in the fellowship of believers and love each other, then John says the love of God is not even here. Pretty serious, isn't it? Pretty straight to the point. Kind of socks you in the gut. So if our love for each other is sincere and evident, then also our attempts to reach out to others in love will be experienced, will be seen as a sincere gesture. And that is our hope among each of us here today. We say fellowship, and is it pretty similar to the idea of hospitality, being hospitable to one another. For anybody who's walked through this door for the first time, that is our hope, that we experience that together, that we even experience it from you, and you especially experience it from us, because we're the host at this point. So our love among each other is a signpost. Jesus said, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And actions and our words verify that love. Hospitality is an expression of love. And God as our host and this love form that basis of hospitality. Well, this leads us to a more specific question. To whom must hospitality be shown? Now, it's interesting that part of that word hospitality in the Greek has within it, part of that word means stranger. Stranger. And the idea of hospitality is to welcome the stranger. Now, that doesn't sound like a very friendly term, does it? Refer to somebody as a stranger. But it's really just about the fact that when you don't know someone, you don't know anything about them, they don't know anything about you, you are strangers to one another. But that may also include certain differences about you and that other person. So it refers to someone that you don't know, or who may be different in some respects than yourself. Hospitality is to be shown to strangers. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, very interesting, Luke chapter 14, verse 12, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. You know, those are perhaps the most comfortable people to to offer hospitality to, or offering it to them may get you something or somewhere. No, it says don't go to them first. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. You see, Jesus there is teaching that hospitality is to be directed toward those people who may be different from you and who have certain needs, that unknown person. Simply put, the person you may not normally think about. And that's our challenge with hospitality. Think about what is different, whatever is different about another person from yourself is not to be a barrier. You are to step through or step over that barrier. And think about this morning, those things that maybe typically are barriers to you and you being welcoming or friendly to another person. We have to admit, there's all kinds of things that make us feel a little uncomfortable. And if you're feeling uncomfortable inside, it's pretty easy for somebody else to notice that. You might be that person or that type of person that would fall into the category of stranger for you and I. It might simply be a new person who you've never met before. Or it might be someone with a different skin color or language. Or someone who has even gone through a divorce or going through a divorce. And you're not quite sure what to say or how to approach that. Or even with a single parent. Again, there might be just some discomfort of how you show that welcome and what kind of conversation you have. Someone who dresses differently than you or has a different hairstyle. Or someone who has left the church and now coming back. So we need to ask ourselves, does anything at all about a person make me hold them at a distance? Because you see, one of the great hindrances to hospitality is judging someone based on those external things. Judging someone. We are called only to show hospitality, show that acceptance and that love. Make a new friend. See the person and not the differences. We tend to estrange people when there is something about them that makes us feel uncomfortable. But rather, the call here from Jesus, as we've demonstrated in this text in 1 Peter 4, is to welcome and invite and love and help restore anyone really into the joy of knowing the Lord. So hospitality is more than in a friendly handshake. That's certainly good. Friendly handshake. But it's also embracing someone, enfolding them into your life somehow, getting to know them better, inviting them into your life. A stranger can also be the lonely neighbor next door, the physically needy person. And kids here this morning, it could be that kid at school who is labeled a weirdo. Others may avoid them, but not the Christian, because that's part of love and hospitality. So it's easy to show hospitality to those that we know and are comfortable with, but Christian hospitality goes much, much further and offers hospitality to anyone whom God puts in our path. Do you believe that? Do you believe God puts people in your path for a reason? He does. And how will you welcome them? How will you make them feel like you've known them forever? That's the welcome you can give them. So practicing hospitality, how do you really offer that hospitality? Just a few final thoughts about practicing hospitality. The ways are as numerous as you can be creative, using your own personality, using your own interests. And in 1 Peter, it says right there in verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. That just says to me, you know, it needs to be sincere. It's something you really want to do. Why? Out of love. The love that we talked about in that first point, love is demonstrated by our God and by our Lord Jesus. It needs to be sincere. But when you are offering hospitality, you are trying to make that stranger feel so very welcome, feel at home. Just as you and I have been accepted by God, and that the condemnation of sin removed, and we are in that communion, in that fellowship with God, we are to help others feel God's acceptance and that welcome through us, through our welcome. And of course, this hospitality goes against any kind of cliquishness, or whether it's intentional or not. We all have a nature to congregate with those who are like us, though it's part of our human nature. But it goes against what hospitality is about. Maybe we don't mean to exclude someone, but sometimes we do. And so the challenge this morning is for you and I to venture out and talk to someone other than your usual group. It's risky. It's a little scary. But you're doing it out of love, out of demonstration of God's love for you. Let that be the motivation, the driver for you to step over that barrier. And once you do that, you'll do it again. Because you realize it's not so bad. There's much joy in that, in getting to know somebody and seeing how they feel welcome. Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of someone who maybe is coming through these doors for the first time. What questions might they have as they come to church here? What will put them at ease? And as you put yourself in their shoes, you'll be able to anticipate those kind of questions. It could be as simple as, you know, directing them towards the restrooms or toward the nursery or toward the coffee stand, whatever. It's also being available for their questions they might have and making them feel at home. It requires, I think, that you and I, when we come through these doors, is to slow down a bit. Take note of those who are around you, those whom you are passing by. I do it. You know, I rush in here. I got things to do. You know, I apologize if I did that this morning to somebody as I rushed in here. But slow down. The thing about hospitality is not only inviting to or inviting in, but going to, going out to. So that might be bringing a gift to your new neighbor or bringing some food to someone in need, going through a hard time. You know, it really ties in closely with what we call outreach in the church, of just going out in the community, showing the love of Christ, and sharing the good news. It's really tied in closely with this idea of hospitality. It's basically serving others, and that's as diverse as our gifts. And that's why it's so interesting that in our text this morning, it talks about gifts right after this verse about hospitality. Verse 10, each one should use whatever he has, whatever gifts he has received to serve others. Just let God use you. And don't let discomforts and barriers get in the way of that. It's amazing what little gestures of kindness can do to make a person feel welcome. You've experienced it yourself from somebody else. Just a little expression of kindness makes you just feel at ease, makes you feel good. We offer it without grumbling because God has shown hospitality to us. He has searched for us and he has invited us in. Peter says that by serving others, we are administering God's grace in its various forms. We are administering God's grace. So it's not just this simple little thing we do, this idea of friendliness, but we're actually showing God's grace, his love to others. It's that significant. And it's that powerful in the lives of others. So Crossroads Fellowship, this is God's church. It's God's church. He will do his work among us. But he calls you and I to make a difference in it and for it. And one of the ways is through hospitality. Some of you have the gift of hospitality, but we all can be hospitable. Show that welcome in our own way, through our own gifts. Ask God how he wants you to grow in hospitality. How can you push yourself out of your comfort zone? It's so very powerful. It's even, we can even add to the sense of its importance and power and what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 25. Again, I invite you to go home and read that this week. I'm just going to give a little brief summary of that. But it's impressed upon us how important it is to reach out and serve others, because it says there in that parable that as we feed the hungry, as we invite in the stranger, as we visit someone in prison, it's as if we are serving Christ himself. We don't think about that every day, do we? As if we are serving Christ. Take time to offer hospitality. Amen. Let's join in prayer together. Oh Lord our God, we are humbled, so very humbled, that you reached out to us, that you became a host to us in wanting to welcome us and bring us back into a fellowship and relationship with you, but that you had to give of your only Son, our Lord Jesus, who laid down his life on the cross for us. And Lord, as we think about taking of communion this morning too, we remember that. How you paid that great price. A supreme demonstration of your love for us. So fill us with that thanksgiving, O Lord. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through this week, that you would attend to our needs and that we would walk with you and trust you, knowing that you are with us. And we need your help and strength each day. And we thank you for all your mercies to us, for your faithfulness to us. So indeed, Father, help us to trust you. Lord God, as we think about our church, we have many things for which to give you praise. We are thankful that Jamie's experiencing healing for her knee. Still has a long road ahead of her of healing, so we pray for that, Lord. We're thankful for the healing for Jim, Laura's dad, and just the amazing work you've done in healing him. For the success of Joan's surgery, Joan Ryerkirk, may you grant her great healing and recovery. For your healing in Eileen Meyer's life and her battle with cancer, and that the radiation treatments are going well, Lord, we long for the day when that will be finished for her and that she will be given that news of complete recovery. Thank you that Luke has experienced full recovery and healing, and that Drew is progressing well. Lord, we're thankful that Angie's dad, that a major heart attack was thwarted, and we still pray for his strength and renewed strength, Lord, as he has experienced a mild heart attack. But Lord, we pray that you would attend to his every need and restore him to health. Lord, we pray for Londa's brother-in-law, Mike, that you will continue to be with him, though he's had some measure of healing, Lord, and recovery. Still a lot going on for him, Lord. So we pray that answers will be given to him and medical treatment provided that he might need. We pray for JT that you would heal up his leg well, that you would give patience to him, to the family, through all of this. And Lord, we also ask that you remove any and all barriers that would get in the way of Brad and Angie adopting JT. Remember LaVon, Lord, and her battle with cancer and the stem cell procedures she's undergoing currently. Lord, protect her body, strengthen her mind and spirit through all of this, and add length to her days. For Tim's dad, Gary, we pray again, Father, that you would restore him to full health and take away any sign of cancer there for him. And Lord God, we pray that you would just be near Don and Catherine and Sonny as they are more homebound, not able to get out as much. We pray, Lord, that they would feel your presence and nearness and feel the fellowship of the people of Crossroads. And as a church, Lord, lead us to our a new pastor to lead this congregation. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the search team and all the efforts being made, and that truly, Lord, you will bring to us that person who will lead us in teaching us from your word and pastoring us and guiding us as a church, inspiring us as a church. We pray for all our ministries here and those in leadership and those helping and both for children and for adults, Lord. Bless each of these ministries that we can grow in our faith and our fellowship with one another and bringing glory to you. Thank you for the ministry of Luke Society. As we are hearing about it this morning and have given of our offering for it, Lord, bless this means to reach the world, to treat a need with the medical attention needed, where there's so many places that are destitute of medical attention that they need. And so you continue to provide and use this ministry. Oh, Lord, we are thankful that you have gathered each of us here. Continue to work in us by your Spirit. Bless our world with peace and the unrest and violence that is there. Relieve all the suffering that we find in our world. Give us wisdom and knowledge and direction in the political campaign for president and all that's going on among political leaders in the world. Give wisdom and direction to them. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We want to conclude our service with celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And so as we do so, I just want to give an invitation to any guests here today. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, or seeking to follow Christ in your daily lives, you're welcome to join with us in this sacrament. This Holy Supper that we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance and of communion and of hope. By his death and resurrection and ascension, Jesus established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted by God and never forsaken by him. And as we come in this communion time, we remember that Christ promised to always be with us. We also come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and a foretaste for the kingdom to come, that feast of love, that banquet, which we will all participate, when with unveiled face we will behold him and made like him in his glory. And since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us his life-giving Spirit, who unites us all in one body, so we are to receive this supper in true love, mindful of this body of believers and the fellowship we have here. So I invite the elders to come forward at this time, as well as the praise team who will lead us in song during the taking of communion. You may be seated a moment. So hear the words of institution of this Holy Supper that came through the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after offering thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this also in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. This is time of communion for us as a body of believers. We come with humbleness, confessing our sin before the Lord indeed. But in doing so, we also wrap that in thanksgiving because of what our Lord has done and the assurance he has given us. So come with a thankful heart. You know, Jesus was always the guest as he walked upon this earth. In the homes of Peter, Jairus, Martha, and Mary, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pled the cause of the poor, he was always the guest. Upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger. He was always the guest. But here, at this table, he's the host. And those who wish to serve him must first be served by him. Those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. And those who would wash his feet must first let him make them clean. For this is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who are hungry and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who has sat at our tables, now invites us to be his guest at his. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us that full assurance that the body and blood of our Lord Jesus takes away all of our sin unto eternal life. Unite us together by your Spirit and help us to remain faithful in hope and love. To the glory of your name, amen. Crossroads and all who are gathered here, these are the gifts of God for us, the people of God. Receive them with thanksgiving. Thank you. People of God, take this bread, remembering and believing that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Thank you. People of God, take, drink, remember, and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let us stand together as we now close our service in thanksgiving to our Lord and with his blessing. Again, you're reminded there's a presentation of Luke Society in the fireside room, and given the time, probably want to make your way over there sooner than later if you grab some coffee and say hello to a few people and be a part of that this morning. Friends, receive this parting word of blessing. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.